To find a few miners was kind of a magic wand. Meant, you know, I would.
So I hope everybody had a really good time. We have about an hour's worth of time left together today.
And I
just wanted to
side effects
leave this time for you as patients, caregivers, supporters of MDS. I wanted to give this 1 hour to you guys to ask any questions for myself related to the presentations that were done, if you had specific questions related to that, or just in general. And Dr. Klimek is also available to answer questions with me. I thank her for staying and being part of this this entire day. This is great. So I leave the floor to you. This is an open forum, and we are recording. So if you can, I'm going to pass this mic along to the first person that asks the question so that it passes along to the second person. And I would like you to speak slowly and clearly, please, because your questions mean a lot in sense where we are recording to transcribe it and put it on our website for future documentation, and if people want to review it or go through it, if they want to learn more about MDS. So this is used as a reference. Okay. About 1:30, Deborah is going to pass around a survey for the day. Feel free to write any comments, anything related to today's discussion, or something that you may be interested in learning for the next round. We're hoping to hold another session, hopefully next year again here. So feel free to write any comments or suggestions, because again, we're always wanting to improve and have these sessions available so we learn and we share, because that's what you guys are here for. Okay. Again, my name is Jay. People call me Jay. My full name is Jay Shree. I've just cut it short now. Feel free to, again, go forward. So who's going to be the lucky one to ask the first question? Yeah, all right. There you go. Again, speak clearly and slowly, please.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. My sister-in-law went for a bone marrow transplant because it was so painful. Bone marrow.
Biopsy. Okay.
Because it was so painful and she was jumping around so much, they only got fluid, which is not as definitive as the bone marrow. Why can't they sedate you? They keep telling her no, that they won't sedate her, and she can't face another one.
Okay. So it depends who's doing the procedure. Is it jumping around because you were jumping around because
pain?
Okay. Even the lidocaine?
Pain.
Usually at
hard bones.
So
would sedation contaminate the bone marrow?
No. There are ways of doing bone marrow sedation biopsies. It's a step process like any other procedure where if you want to kind of put a person under lightly under, like a nice sleep kind
like
of something like that. I think you may have to have that discussion with your physician and say, I need your help to help me find somebody that be willing to do it. I think if you have that open conversation, it may take a while, but they'd be willing to set this up for you. And again, you may have to get some clearances or whatever to go forward to doing that. It's a pain in the butt, but, literally.
But is that fluid not as telling?
It depends on how much the fluid, where they sent it, what they sent it for. I think if the information that they were seeking was just from the fluid alone, again, you have to have that discussion with your physician and ask them the fluid that you collected, the sample that you collected, was that enough for what you needed and what were you testing for? The more questions you ask to your physicians and nurses, whoever is taking care of you, the more information you will get back. What I tell my patients is when you go to a doctor's office, you want to be prepared. When you go sign for a house, right, when you're signing your closing, you have to have your documentation, boom, 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 boom. You got to get your bank statements, approval, and a check, and all of this stuff. It's the same concept. When you go to the doctor's office, bring a notepad. Write down your questions beforehand. Have a thought process in saying, you know what? What are the top three questions that I'm going to ask my doctor today? Or ask Jay today, you know? Jay, what is my level for, I don't know, vitamin B12 that was drawn last week? I need to know the whatever, and I want you to explain what it is. Stuff like that. Just write it down so you don't have to think about it. All you have to do is, of course, put that piece of paper in your purse or your back pocket or wallet or something. That's, I think, I suggest that because when you go to the doctors, I think for myself and others, they always feel like there's this wall, like they go there and they're listening, yes, 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 nodding away, and they leave and they have five other questions. I get a phone call back later for the end of the day or the next day, Jay, I forgot to ask you this. So that's helpful. And also, always bring your medication list. Herbs, vitamins, supplements, anything that you take over the counter, plus your prescribed medications, write it down on a piece of paper. It's very helpful, and it makes it very easy for your healthcare practitioner to know, you know, Jayshree's taking A to Z. Now I know what I'm dealing with if I want to prescribe this for her. Versus me grilling you, what did you take? What pharmacy did you use? I have five different pharmacies. Well, okay, that's fine. But that means that I have to step away and get all that information. And it takes away my time from you. Next question, pass the mic along. All right. I'll pass it along. Nope.
Thank you. So we're in the position of perhaps having to start Revlimid in our future.
Okay.
So the question is about that. What are typical responses to Revlimid? What are typical benefits over time of it with a 5Q issue? And then the same question for growth factors.
Sure. So hold on to the mic for the next round. Revlimid is, let me go back it up, it's a treatment modality that Dr. Klemek actually explained and talked about very briefly for patients with MDS. It is used for MDS patients as well as patients who have a specific mutation. Okay, a little break in the DNA, it says, ooh, you know what, I feel like breaking and making this mutation called 5Q deletion. You're probably saying, Jay, how do I know if I have it? That's the conversation you need to have with your physician and ask them and say, him or her, and say, can you go over my cytogenetic report? With the liquid that was collected for your sister, the information we were seeking is information such as cytogenetics, which is what is her sister made of right now. Not 20 years ago, right now. Has she developed mutations now? She developed any pre-leukemia cells right now, and does it have 5Q deletion? Okay, that's the information from the liquid. For Revlimid, if you have that 5Q deletion, it's a specific treatment modality that was studied to use for those patients, and it proved efficacy. Efficacy enough that the FDA said, you know what, this is important, it's worked. Worked in a sense where it actually, for patients who had it, the MDS and 5Q deletion, patients became transfusion independent. Their anemia levels or anemia resolved. Not for everybody over time. There are rules with starting when you take this medication that the patient will have to follow. By monitoring the blood counts on a weekly basis times at least 8 weeks, if not more. And supporting them while the MDS is changing within the bone marrow. Supporting them with blood products, platelet transfusions, and other treatment things, such as growth factors, possibly. Because the patients can become very neutropenic. Neutropenia is white blood cells. So you have to be very careful of balancing all of those things. So we're dealing with platelets, white count, and hemoglobin. So monitoring all of that throughout the treatment process of being on Revlimid is very important, very critical. Patients can bleed. develop infections, and become very, very fatigued, enough that they may not want to get out of bed, and also possibly develop blood clots. All those things component that come
develop
into place.
Develop what? I didn't hear.
Blood clots. So that's what's being used for that specific reason. The side effects, do you want me to review the side effects really quickly in regards to?
Do you have patients who've been on Revlimid? Do people stay on it for any length of time?
Sure.
And over time, you know, what is the experience of folks? And does the benefit continue?
Sure. So it goes by the patient's initial diagnosis of having MDS, where they are with their MDS. Do they only have 5q deletion that we're dealing with, or are we dealing with 5q deletion and five other mutations? So that conversation you need to ask your physician, meaning ask that question to your doctor and say, what are we dealing with? As far as the numbers of how good it's going to work, it depends on that mutation line. How many?
Have you had patients on Revlimid, and what is their actual living experience of being on this and being on this over time?
So I've had many patients being on Revlimid, and they've done actually well while they are for this treatment modality for specific 5q deletion. We've also used it for patients with 5q deletion plus other mutations. Those patients are a different setting. They're a different indication. They've done well. They can stay on it. We have also used Revlimid at different dosages at different times. So some patients I've used, just for example, every patient's different now. One patient I've had to use Revlimid on every third day. And you're probably saying, Jay, it says every day, to give it every day. Well, when I gave it to the patient, her numbers her side effects that she was experiencing was too much. So it's a balance of her side effects with the numbers and how she's feeling with the quality of life. So we take a look at the whole picture. I think what I would suggest is if this therapy is being used or considered for whoever, I would say write down your questions that you're asking that to me and the rest of the group to definitely discuss it with your physician. But to give you a perspective, it is a pill form therapy. It's not immediate therapy that will resolve and take away, but you definitely need resolve, meaning to take away and say, my MDS forever. Will they need to stay on this medicine forever? Probably. Until it stops working, and then maybe something else will come about.
Yep. Thank you.
Yeah. Let me pass the mic along over here.
I've been on Revlimid for 2.5 years at least, 7.5 milligram, and I haven't had one side effect from it at all. But I do have to go every
6 months is long enough to...
Yes.
That's what I felt,
yeah.
You know. At that time, I said, it doesn't seem to be doing me any good. You know, just like Decogen.
Dacogen, decitabine, yes.
Yeah. Again, 9 months on it, and you know, having really severe reactions after the 7th and 8th month.
Yeah. Dacogen is a hypomethylating agent, or decitabine, and that was one of the treatment modalities that Dr. Klimek talked about, where you take away the extra methyl from the DNA and say, okay, DNA, work properly now. So you need a hit to the bone marrow and the DNA every month from the Dacogen to take away the extra methyl. If you don't get that hit, then the bone marrow says, ooh, well, I'm going to keep on making the extra methyl. And hence, the disease may possibly progress. So it's a balance of treatment, option available, discussing it, telling your patient or discussing it and telling them this is a lifelong process and it's a commitment and to be very patient. It's not like solid tumor world where if you see that tumor, and it shrinks and it's gone, it's gone. This is different. This is, we're dealing with blood. And it, you can't feel it unless you poke somebody and the person's actually bleeding. So you don't feel it. And it's different to conceptualize that people have this. So that's what makes it difficult. Yes?
When you mentioned bleeding, infection, blood clot development, those were signs that would require you to have Revlimid, and I think I missed the fourth. Or that's the after effect of having it, or
no? Those are the symptoms that you want to monitor while being on Revlimid.
There was a fourth, and I don't remember.
White blood cell. So infection, anemia. Checking the CBC for blood counts, meaning hemoglobin, and also platelets for bleeding. Yes.
Hi, I was just wondering if you could speak a little bit on the side effects and the risks of the hypomethylating agents.
Sure. So hypomethylating agent is, again, used as a treatment modality for MDS patients as one of the options. There are two right now that are available on the market. One is azacitidine, which is, again, the other name is Vidaza. And it can be given in different times, 5 days, 7 days, 5 days, 6 days, whatever your doctor decides is fine. The other drug is decitabine, and their name for it is called Dacogen. They both are sister drugs, but their chemical compounds are a little bit different in the way chemistry, if you formula, looks like. People experience different side effects for each one. Okay, so if I ask Doris what her side effect for Dacogen versus Frank, John. John had, every person will react in a different way. But it also goes with the type of MDS the patient has, where they are with their MDS. That's also critical. How you choose treatment modalities is a discussion you need to have with your physician. And ask them the question, why would you choose this one versus the other? The side effects that I tell my patients to review, or I discuss with my patients when we're about to decide which one, and say we decided Vidaza, or azacitidine as a treatment option. And if we're planning on doing subcutaneous injection versus IV, obviously it's going to be, you know, localized redness, some pain associated with the injections. As far as side effects, you may have a little bit of nausea. Constipation, because I'm giving you a nausea pill to prevent nausea, but as a side effect from that pill is the constipation. Dacogen is a similar effect. So with MDS, if you think about it, just picture yourself as with MDS as a garden. Let me start there. Where it's filled with weeds, completely, maybe not completely, 95%, there's 5% that's good. It's a nice little corner patch left, okay, where you had planted the tomatoes that's growing nicely. Leave it alone. The 95% of your garden is covered with weeds. When you're giving Dacogen or Vidaza, and you're trying to get a hit with that's a weed killer. We're calling Vidaza and Dacogen the weed killer. Hit, meaning the 5 days of therapy of the Vidaza or Dacogen, will not clear the 95%. That's why you need a hit every month to 5 weeks, depending on, again, your treatment plan that's decided, to take away the weeds. And when the first hit comes, the hit is strong because the body doesn't know how to react. And with that hit, the counts go down. Patients feel tired, more tired than usual. I tell my patients all the time when they have MDS, be patient. It's going to take up to 4 to 6 months before you start feeling some difference. And you're saying, my patients always tell me, Jay, that's a long time. You are talking in almost springtime now. You're going to have to be patient until we start seeing the numbers go up. And you start feeling better, and you become transfusion independent. It's not a
Is there any chance that once those numbers go down, they do not rebound?
They do. Well, again, it depends on the type of disease and where they are. Sometimes when the counts go down, it's a balance of knowing when to intervene, whether it's what cytopenia you're dealing with. Are you talking about the neutropenia, hemoglobin, or platelets? Neutropenia, they may need a little growth factor support to say, let's go, bump it up, you know, bump up the engine. Neulasta depends, again, my rules are different for utilizing Neulasta. I tend not to, because their half-life is longer than a little touch of Neupogen. But also, there's rules of when to use it and when not to use it. So, and hemoglobin, if it's low, obviously we have blood products to transfuse if the patient's willing to go forward. And platelets, again, they're readily available, but they die off in three days. So you have to be careful of when you transfuse, and people develop antibodies after many transfusions, so that's also a concern. Yep.
And my whole body turned black and blue just about. And I thought it was because you hit yourself and you fall.
Sure.
And so I didn't pay any attention. But then when I went to the doctor, I wasn't even home yet, and he called me on the phone because he had me go for a blood test, and he said, I want you to come to the hospital right away, and I want somebody to drive you, because...
Maybe it was ITP.
I don't really know. Yeah,
thrombocytopenia purpura. So it's an autoimmune kind of a trigger that can happen in your body to say, I want to just wipe out all your platelets, you know, from the garden. Wipe it out. And hence, maybe that's why you saw the black and blues. And steroids.
My whole chest, my arms.
Yeah.
I didn't pay any attention because, you know, I'm doing lawns and climbing trees and everything. So I figure I'm hitting myself.
It sounds like something similar to like an autoimmune kind of a component where your body just decided at some point to say, I want to just knock out all the platelets from the bone marrow and just knock it out of the system. And prednisone is a steroid that you use as a treatment modality for that type of autoimmune disorder.
They don't use it for the MDS.
We do.
They do?
We do. Yes. In a different way. In a different way, different dosages for different reason, different type.
I was on it for about 2 years, I would say, prednisone, and cut down. You have to cut down slowly.
Yeah, it sounds like it is, but again, I think the best person to answer that would be your physician.
I never thought to ask him because he was the same physician then, and then 20 years later, I lucked out, and my... primary physician sent me to him, and it happened to be the same doctor, so.
That's interesting.
He's great, though, I must say.
Yeah, well, you're still with us, right?
Right.
There you go.
Right.
Following up on her comment, when do you use prednisone in MDS?
It depends. Sometimes we use it as a treatment part of the treatment in conjunction with an agent. Sometimes we use it alone. And it's a steroid, so we use it sparingly. And sometimes we have I've taken care of a few MDS patients where they've actually had autoimmune component plus MDS. So it's a balance of the autoimmune keeping it suppressed. The issues of, you know, the patient having a symptom or a side effect or something with a low dose of something, prednisone, plus giving them a hypomethylating agent to keep everything balanced. It's about a balance at the end of the day of whatever type of MDS that the patient presents with and trying to figure out a recipe of weed killer, different types of weed killers for that person. So.
I have
one more
question.
Prograde. Yes, Prograde. What about it?
What is the point of it?
Prograde is it's a growth factor in a sense where it helps to stimulate and tell the kidneys and the bone marrow to say, let's churn it up, churn up the red blood cells, and so we can have more energy. and it's to use as a treatment modality for patients who have MDS.
Okay.
Yes, Dr. Clement. Go ahead.
Right, so Procrit is a medicine that it mimics a natural substance that your body normally makes. So if you know anybody that has, for example, like thyroid disease or diabetes, you take medicines to replace what your body's not able to produce, like thyroid hormones or insulin, right? So the Procrit is just a synthetic version of a natural substance that we all make in our kidneys. And I always describe it to my patients as it's like you know how I describe the bone marrow as a factory? Well, the Procrit is like the foreman, okay? It circulates around in the blood, and when it gets into the bone marrow, it's basically telling the bone marrow, work harder, make more cells. It's like cracking the whip on the bone marrow. So what it's doing, it's not fixing the bone marrow. It's not getting at the root problem, but it's making whatever bone marrow ability, make blood cell ability, making ability your bone marrow has, it's making it just work harder. So and it can increase the hemoglobin. In some people, it can reduce or eliminate the need for transfusions. And sometimes we find it's really an important part of the treatment for people who have MDS if they have underlying kidney problems, because that substance, the natural substance I told you about, most of it's made in the kidneys. So there's an instance where an individual person, their management might be changed by the fact that we know that in addition to MDS, they have kidney disease, so they're going to be maybe more likely to benefit from those Procrit shots.
Okay, I mean, you know, she gets a regular one every week, mm-hmm. but the last 2 years, is it an indefinite type of drug?
It's used indefinitely as long as we think it's providing benefit. As long as your doctor thinks it's working, you can use it indefinitely. At some point, if you feel it's not working, then it should be stopped. But that's going to be up to your doctor to decide.
All right, we got a couple more questions. Okay.
No, this is easy.
Okay, go ahead.
If once you've stopped taking Procrit because it was found to be ineffective, do you recommend trying to get back on it and see if it is now producing the task it was designed for?
So there's a couple situations where I might make that recommendation. One is where let's say you were on Procrit, it was working for a while and then it stopped working. But then you developed kidney problems, and you're not just able to make the amount that you were able to make before. I might try it again to see if we can boost those levels up to kind of replace what your kidneys were doing. That's number one.
Can you read it?
Number two, if you're on those shots, they don't work anymore, you stop them, and then down the road you go on something like Vidaza or Decitabine. If you remember the Procrit, I said the Procrit and the Darby shots, they don't fix the bone marrow, but the Vidaza and the Decitabine, they actually are weed killers. They can actually get rid of the bad cells and help promote the bone marrow to work better. So those drugs are getting at the root problem in the bone marrow. So if you can imagine, if you've gotten rid of the weeds and you're trying to grow blood cells, red blood cells, throw in some fertilizer, and that's kind of what the Procrit will do. It'll help to kind of stimulate the normal cells, help the normal cells to come back. So it's different now because the Vidaza or the Decitabine has changed the bone marrow in a way that might make it more receptive and maybe more able to respond to the Procrit. So sometimes I reintroduce the Procrit later, even if it didn't work before, because the bone marrow itself is working better and it may be able to respond. And so sometimes I can improve the hemoglobin even beyond what the Decitabine or Vidaza is able to do by just adding back in the Procrit or the Darbepoetin.
Thank you.
Dr. Klimek, based on what you just said, would nephrologists actually use Procrit for patients who have like 30 or 40% deficiency kidney?
Yeah, they do. It's and anybody who's on dialysis is automatically receiving it as replacement therapy, basically. Yes. So renal failure, kidney failure, is another reason. It's marketed under a different name.
What's it called?
Ibogen.
Okay. Epogen?
Epogen. It's the same, but it's the same. It's the exact same thing as Procrit. That's why you don't hear it talked about in the context, Procrit talked about in the context of kidney failure.
Yeah. Is it typical to use Procrit even if your natural EPO levels are normal?
That's a really good question. But it'll help me to prompt me to explain something about the way that we use it. So let's assume you have normal kidney function. Your kidneys are chugging along. They're making all this stuff. It's doing your body's doing what it's supposed to do. And when your body's doing what it's supposed to do, when you're anemic, the kidneys sense it and it makes more. So your levels of that natural substance should go up. That's the natural reaction. But what we found out is that when we grow bone marrow cells from people with MDS and aplastic anemia in the laboratory, they need higher than normal levels to grow. So before your doctor starts Procrit or darbepoetin on you, or Aranesp, we check that natural EPO level. Even if it's very high, we may still think the people can still benefit from the Procrit or the Aranesp on top of what they're already making. Even if it's very high, because we know that we have to kind of get it super high for the bone marrow to respond. So, yes. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Have you ever experienced people going into remission?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Remission, yeah, yeah, yes.
What was the question?
The question was, have you had experience with patients going into remission?
So there's a difference between remission and cure.
Right.
Right. So I have people in remission on Vidaza. I have people in remission on decitabine. I have people in remission on Revlimid. I don't have people in remission on Procrit or Aranesp, even if their hemoglobin is normal, because we know that the MDS is still there, but we're just making the bone marrow work harder to compensate. Yeah.
Well, if you've forgotten any questions or you think of any other questions, feel free to reach out to MDS Foundation. The books that you guys have are a great resource, and in regards to learning about the disease, sharing it with other people that want to know about the disease, and utilizing the MDS Foundation website, please. Feel free to use it. Again, support us. We want to grow as a foundation and share knowledge with others about it. And thank you so much for coming. Yes, Alvin?
Why don't you get Robin Roberts, who is so well known? She is always touting the implant part, but she never discusses the disease that created the need for the implant. I mean, here is someone who can, you know, really do something. She has that, you know, celebrity, but she has not. You saw her up here, and she talks about it. But this is where it could be. And Nora Ephron is dead. But, you know, people are not aware that Sagan, Carl Sagan, and what's her name, Susan Sontag. But Roberts, I mean, she has a lot of celebrity power.
I think I'm going to make my phone call today to her.
I think, but I also think that she's also trying to be an advocate for another unmet need, and that is to try to make sure we have as many donors as possible.
For the implant.
For the transplant,
sure,
yes.
That's what she promotes.
Yes, yes, because that's what worked for her. And so I think she's a celebrity, but I think she's also a human being.
Yeah.
But works for her, but she had the disease.
Sure.
And that's, you want to have the visibility.
Sure.
She does talk also about MDS.
But she is doing a lot for the transplant part, yeah.
After you have a transplant, is she cured or just in remission?
Well, you're considered cure after 5 years.
Uh-huh.
I think, you know, she's still in that phase of, yes, she's been past the 100 days after transplant.
Okay.
Remember, the transplant doctor went over, day zero is her birthday for her transplant.
Right.
Counting from there to 100 days thereafter is a critical point, because that they do a repeat bone marrow then.
Right.
Thereafter, they do repeat bone marrows at years, at 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, whatever her oncologist has designed the plan for her.
Right.
About 5 years there forward, if everything is negative, then, yeah, she's considered cured.
You know, apropos the visibility, Nora Ephron's son was on TV on two programs, and he spoke about MDS. Well, of course, because she didn't get the transplant. I don't think so. I don't know whether that was the case. But, you know, he doesn't have that celebrity power that she's on all the time. She could raise money for us.
No, and I know, but unfortunately also, you know, it's MDS, is, as I pointed out, it's a relatively rare disease, too, so...
But that's why you need her.
I know.
Yes, let's all call her.
Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
I've been talking to Dr. Klimek and Audrey Assan from the Foundation about having a support group in New York City, and so we were talking about sending out some kind of mailing about that or try to organize that. I don't know. We're really not sure if, I mean, it would be, depends on whether people feel that that would be useful to them and how it would be useful. It may be that the differences don't make it so, but maybe it does. So
I think so.
Yeah, so
had
we're going to try to do that.
So it's a great idea. So that's another reason why we have these patient forums, is ideas such as those are important to share and consider and to talk about, and it gives you a great avenue to give your phone number to her, email to her, or in others to share and start this support group that, you know, by next year, maybe you guys will start it and it'll grow to fruition.
I'd be happy to take anyone's email address or phone number or something so I can share information.
We could start the process now, yeah. Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to point out that the incidence of MDS will be going up, because right now it's rare, but you have an aging population that's living longer than we used to, and you also have everyone getting cancer and being treated for it.
In some form or something, for some reason, yes.
It's going to go up.
Yeah. No, it's a very good point.
I agree, and I agree with you completely. And we think that there's also a rising incidence in this therapy-related type MDS, because the better we get at curing other cancers and the longer people are living and surviving their other cancer, we're definitely going to see more of that. And that's another reason to study that problem. It's terrible when that happens, but obviously you need to treat the other cancer too. So...
We have lots of food available still. Feel free to grab a bite on your way out or take it with you. One last thing. If you can, please hand in your surveys to Deborah, myself, Audrey, if you're finished. Just because we, again, want feedback so that we can improve and make the suggestions, changes to the next patient forum. Thank you so much all for coming.